Today's shir is Masechta Chulin Daf Pei Gimel. We will begin Beis Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Pei Beis on the Beis, 8 lines from the bottom. The Gemara begins by going back to what we discussed at the end of our previous shir, where Breisach said that if somebody ate the 2 giranoshes from the 2 sides of the animal, the Mishnah said, the Tanakam says you get 82 sets of malchus, or who gets 1 set of malchus. And the Gemara wanted to explain exactly what was the case. If they were eaten one after the other with 2 separate hasras, so Rabbi Yehuda should not obligate any malchus, because it's hasra safik, because as we mentioned, and we're going to learn a mitzvah shem, perigit anosha, it is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, you only get malchus for 1 of the 2 giranoshes. So if he ate them separately, every time they got a hasra, the right, the left, and they got it a warning, he was being told, well, maybe that wasn't the gid for which there's malchus. Says the Gemara, it must be speaking about where he ate the 2 gidim the one time with 1 hasra. So he certainly did something wrong. And therefore, since he did certainly something wrong, because 1 of those gidim is asur, that's why even Rabbi Yehuda will agree he gets 1 set of malchus. So ask the Gemara, now that we've established that, we need to understand who is the Tanakama that says that you're going to get 2 malchus. Ilay Rabbanan the Pliga Lay the Simchus, if we're going to suggest that it represents the opinion of the Chachamim to disagree with Simchus and with Simchus said in our Mishnah that if somebody killed the mother and then the granddaughter and then in the middle the daughter, so it's 1 act, Yemzichayev 2 malchus for 2 times Ois Benoi. So Hashta, let's understand, Umah Hasam, if in the case of our Mishnah, as we just explained, the Gufa Mechulakim, we're speaking about 2 different people, the mother and the grandmother and the granddaughter. Still, the Rabbanim say, with 1 act, you only chayev 1 set of malchus. Patri Rabbanon, hocha, in our case, where it's only 1 of act of eating, as we just said, that it's 1 giranosha that you're eating at 1 time, like hoshkein, that you should only get 1 set of malchus. Yet we just said that it is the opinion of the Rabbanon that you're going to get 2 set of malchus. Elalav, who must be the tan of that brisa? It must be representing the opinion of Sumchus, who says that with 1 act, you could be chayiv more than 1 malchus. And therefore, in that case as well, when you ate the 2 giranoshes, you're going to be chayiv 2 times malchus. Says the Mara, and this is a proof to what we've been trying to say, what Rabbi Yosef has been trying to say, how to understand the opinion of Sumchus. Says the Gemara, loy. That's not necessarily the way that we need to understand that brisa, which will push us to understand the opinion of Sumchus. Loylam will explain that brisa is speaking about bezachazah. They didn't eat both gidim at 1 time. If that's the case, then the brisa could represent the opinion of the Rabbanon, who disagree with Sumchus. And here, since he did the 2 gidin in two times with 2 asras, so of course you're gonna be chayiv 2 times malchus. But then the question was, why would Rabbi Yehuda in such a case even say that you get 1 set of malchus? Why should this not be considered a situation of Asra Sofik, because every time he ate a separate Giranosha, we don't know if that's the Giranosha which the Torah says is Asur, so it shouldn't be Chayif, says the Gemara, because Haitana Sover, what was the problem with that explanation? We explained that every time he received Asra, it was Asra Sofik. Explains the Gemara, this Brisa, the Tanu, who taught this Brisa, Savor Kedach Tanu Rabbi Yehuda, says like a different Brisa which explains the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And that Brisa says that actually Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that Asra Sofik Shmo Hasra. The Tanya, the Torah says regarding the Korban Pesach, says the Braisa, L'shasir b'menu ad boiker, v'anoisim b'menu ad boiker be'esh tisroifa. The Pasuk says that we have to make sure to eat up the Korban Pesach and not leave it over till the morning of the 15th Nisan. So actually, this should have been a lav. If somebody leaves over, that you should get a lav for violating the Isser Noisa. But says the Gemara, says the Braisa, Barakas of Liten Esser Achaloisa say, but the Torah says, as we just read, to teach us, because it's a lav hanitikla say, as we said, that whenever we have a lav hanitikla say, there is no malchus. And this is an example of a lav hanitikla say, because the Torah says, if you did leave over, there's a way, so to speak, how to correct that avera. The way you correct that avera is by burning it in the morning. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yaakov Avalayim Hashem Azeh. That's not the reason. And as the Rishonim explained, it's not that Rabbi Yaakov is disagreeing with the concept of lava nitik basay. But he's also saying there's another reason, which is the primary reason for which there's no malchus. Rav Yaakov Avalayim Hashem Azeh. Elam Shem Davalav Shem B'maisa. Leaving over Noisa doesn't involve any act. And therefore, that's why there's no Malchus, because he says, V'kol Lav Shem B'maisa ain't Loikon Lav. Obviously, the Gemara Masech the Malchus explains, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with this concept. And Rabbi Yehuda says that there is Malchus for Lav Shem B'maisa, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda had to say the reason there is no Malchus is because it's Lav HaNetik Lasei. But let's think about this. The only reason Rabbi Yehuda says there's no malchus is because it's a lav hanitik lasei. But why should it be considered a lav? Why, if we hold that asra sofik lo shma asra, if asra sofik is not considered a valid asra, that should already be a reason that they should not get malchus. Because you can't warn somebody not to eat. Because let's say it's the night of Pesach, and indeed this person has the Korban Pesach, and you tell him, don't eat, don't leave over, but it's not relevant, it doesn't become nicer until the morning, until Alois HaShachar. And he could always have a claim that by when the morning came, I forgot. So it should always be Asra Sofik. And Rashi points out, well, we could come up with a situation where it won't be that way. Let's say Alois HaShachar is 5 a.m., you'll give him Hasra right before 5 a.m. Says Rashi, E'ef shel tzamtzum, it's impossible to identify that it should be that the Hasra should be given a moment before the actual Aveira takes place. Obviously, since Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned with this, it must be that he holds that Hasra Sofik Shma Hasra. And therefore, it's considered, that's why that wasn't Rabbi Yehuda's consideration. So ask Rabbi Shmuel Rozovsky Zatzal, even if we'll say Rabbi Yehuda holds Asra Sofik Loi Shma Asra, we still have the problem that we just learned, that the Asra has to be given a moment before you did the Aveira, and Rashi just said that that's not possible. So why is this relevant related to the question of Asra, Sofik, Shema, Asra? So Shmuel Rozovsky says that we think of the Issa Noiser, that the Issa Noiser means when Alois HaShachar comes and I have leftover, I'm over the Issa Noiser. He says included in what Rabbi Yehuda teaches us is that if Alois HaShachar comes and you have Noiser, from when were you over the Aveira? You weren't over the Aveira at this last moment by Alois HaShachar when you have leftover Noiser. You're over the Aveira retroactively all night long when you had carbon meat that you didn't eat up in time. And therefore, the moment you received the Hasra, it's considered a prop act of Hasra. The only issue would be Asra Sofik, because we don't know, because you always have the opportunity to heat it till the morning. But obviously, Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned with Asra Sofik Shema Asra. So going back to the Braisa that we began with, We're talking about two separate. We're talking about that he ate the two Gidin, each one separately, and got a straw for each one separately. We don't know, according to Yehuda, which is the Gid that's awesome, which is the Gid that's mutter, so that should make it into a straw suffik. Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned about a straw suffik. Tashma, so the Gemara again wants to identify from where Rabbi Yosef took the Sumchus, says you could be chayiv ultimate many alavin, even though you did only one iser. Tashma, again a brisa that speaks about the iser gidanosha. Ocho shnei gidim shnei yirechus mishnei behemus. If you ate the two right gidim from two animals, soifik shmoinim. You're going to get two times Malkus for the two Gidin. If you don't have any Sofik Ella Aboim, you're only going to get one set of Malkus. The Brisa clearly is of the opinion that the only Gid for which you're Chayiv is for the right Gid. And again, the Gemara delves in. Hey, Chidami, exactly what is the case of this Brisa? Ilayim B'zechazeh, V'shteyes Ros, that he ate the two Gidin, one after the other, with separate hasros, my time the Rabbi Yehuda Dama Aboyim Vesuloi. So why would Rabbi Yehuda held that you only get one set of Malkus? It should be two set of Malkus for the two acts of violating this of Gidanosha. El Pshita, what's the case? Babas Achas Bechad Hasra, that you ate both of them with one hasra. And man Tanakama. And again, the Gemara says, who will be the Tanakama of this Brisa? Ilim Rabbonin, if you're going to want to suggest it represents the opinion of the Rabbanon, of our Mishnah, the Pligele, the Sumcha, that disagree with Sumchas, and say, in the case of the grandmother, granddaughter, and daughter, you only chayiv one Malkus. So ask the Gemara, Ma'asam, if in the case of our Mishnah, the Gufa Mechulakim, we're talking about the grandmother and the granddaughter, Patri Rabbanon, the Rabbanon say you only get one set of Malkus, Hacha, where you only ate, when you ate two Gidim, which is the same Isser, Loikoshkein, certainly should only be chayiv only one Malkus. Ella, who is the Tan of that price? Sumchasi. And again, here we have a proof that it is the opinion of Sumchas that you did one Isser and you can be chayiv two Malkus. Says Mar Loilam, we're going to say that the price is speaking about a case of Zechazeh, that you ate from each animal. You ate the two Gidim separate times with the Kamrit, and therefore we ask the question, my time Rabbi Yehuda, why would Rabbi Yehuda hold that you only chayiv one Malkus? You did two acts of eating. It says the Gemara, time Rabbi Yehuda could go into less bay kazayis. Rabbi Yehuda is speaking about a case that each one of these Gidim did not have kazayis. One of them had a kazayis. The Tanya, Ochloi. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is if you ate from the kazayis, kazayis, chayiv. He holds, Tanakama holds your chayiv for Gidanosha, even though it doesn't have a kazayis because it's a barrier. And the opinion and the halacha is that for a barrier, for a whole thing, your chayiv, even though normally you need to have a kazayis, there's a question how we define this. Some Rishonim say that it's always considered a barrier. And by barrier, we say Yechayiv, according to Rabbanan, even if it doesn't have Kazayis. Some say that this is a rule that's limited to the Gid HaNosha. Yudam Echev Kazayis. He doesn't consider a Gid HaNosha barrier. He considers it part of the animal. And therefore, the shear is a Kazayis. And therefore, if you ate two Gidim, which in one of them there is a shir kazayis, and the other one there is no shir kazayis, Tanakam is going to say chayiv twice, because the fact that one of those gidim did not have kazayis doesn't make a difference to him, because it's a barrier. And Yehuda says you're only going to be chayiv for the gid that has a kazayis. For the gid that doesn't have kazayis, you won't be chayiv. For the gid that has a kazayis, that doesn't have kazayis, he won't be chayiv, because he holds you always have to have a kazayis. Having finished all of these attempts to prove how to understand the opinion of Sumchas, the Gemara actually did not come to a maskana. It was common in certain times, as we're going to learn in this Mishnah, that people bought meat. And therefore, at a time where it's most likely that somebody bought meat. You have, the seller has to notify the buyer that the mother or the offspring were bought that day, in order that the person should, the second person should not check the animal he's buying that day, because he should know that the mother was sold, and it was sold presumably, as we're going to be explaining, for the sake of eating. This halacha, says the Rashba, is only speaking about the Arba Parakim, the four times of the year that it's most common to slaughter meat, to have meat to eat. Any other time of the year, says the Rashba, and Durant says it as well, we don't have to be concerned, because when we buy an animal, number one, we don't have to. There's a suffix if it has a offspring or has a parent, and even if it does, who says it was sold today? And even if it was sold today, who says there's an intention to shecht what was bought today? And therefore, because of all of these considerations, somebody who buys an animal the rest of the year doesn't have to be concerned, and he doesn't even halachically have to ask and do investigation what happened. The Rant says that if that perspective, says the Rant, is from the side of the buyer, from the seller side, there perhaps it is appropriate that the seller should tell the buyer, I sold the mother or the baby today. The Ramban disagrees that you should always have to notify. And the reason is that, and the way the Ramban learns the Mishnah, is that all year round, the buyer who buys this animal has the responsibility to check what is the status. Because before I go and shecht an animal, I should be checking what is the status of the animal. But the seller, that's not his responsibility. However, during these four times that we're about to discuss in our Mishnah, says the Mishnah, that not only, as the, according to the Ramban's understanding, is it the responsibility of the buyer to verify what's going on, it's the responsibility of the seller to tell the buyer what is going on because of these days. The Shulchan Aruch tells us that all year round, if the first buyer tells, the person who bought the first animal tells the seller, I want to shecht this animal today, or if this person who's selling the animals had already shechted himself one of these animals today, then of course it becomes the obligation of the seller to notify the buyer what happened. And the Shach says that, however, that if somebody sold it, and again, we're not talking about the Arba Parakim, the other times of the year, if the seller sold it and they didn't verify that that's what's going on, and then the buyer discovers that that's what happened, the buyer can't come with a claim of Mekachtos. Because there's no need to be concerned that he's going to be shechting today. When the buyer bought it, he did not explicitly tell us that that is what his intention is. And given all of those realities, that's why, even though maybe on the Arba Parakim that we're about to learn, there can be a situation of Mekachtos, here there is no concern about Arba Mekachtos. So again, says the Mishnah, if somebody sells an animal, the seller has to notify the buyer, I already sold the mother today, I already sold the baby today, and explains the Tveres Yaakov. The Mishnah used the word parakim, that it comes to teach us. Why did the Mishnah use the word prokim and yomim? Because they make that here, it's not dafka the day. It doesn't mean Erev Yontif. Because let's say Erev Yontif would be on Shabbos, and this sales took place on Friday, so he would have to make the same notification because nobody could shecht on Shabbos. The Miri says that our Mishnah obviously is of the opinion, going back to what we discussed extensively at the beginning of the Perek, that the Issur of Oisav Espanoi is only by mothers and their daughters, not by the fathers. The question of Chashin Lazara Av, because the Mishnah spoke about Ima, the Mishnah spoke about the mother, and that's why it seems that our Mishnah is passing like Drabon and not like Hananya. But then the Miri says it's not a compelling proof, because it could be that we are worried by the father as well, but it's obviously easier to identify the mother over the father, so that's why the Mishnah spoke about the mother, but it's not limited to the mother. And the Tfuah Shor explains the Mishnah, that even though when the first animal was sold, it was not expressly stated by the buyer that it is his intention to buy the animal to shecht it, the assumption is that these times of the year, somebody who buys an animal is buying the animal with the intention of shechita. There are others. The Teresh Yaakov disagrees, and Teresh Yaakov says the seller only has an obligation to give this notification when he heard from the buyer of the first animal that it is his intention. But if he didn't hear that it's an intention to shecht, then he doesn't have to notify. The Achrayim explain that the concern is not that the first one is going to shecht. The concern is, going back to what we learned in our previous Mishnah, that the first animal that was sold was already slaughtered. Since it's already concerned that it was already slaughtered, if it wasn't slaughtered, so we had a discussion in our previous year, maybe the second person could check before the first person. Here, the halacha is that if the seller did not give this notification, and therefore the buyer bought based on this notification, and it turns out that now he can't check the animal, the halacha is that it becomes a mekach tos. Because as we're learning in the Mishnah, these are times that the assumption is that anybody who's buying an animal is buying the animal for the sake of shechting the animal. And since he's buying it for the sake of shechting the animal, he could say, well, now that I can't shecht the animal, because shechting the animal would be a violation of Eisav Espanoi, then it wasn't, and then the sale, I would have never bought it under those circumstances. The Rav Achai Gaon, of course, tells us that if somebody buys an animal from a non-Jew, then he can't rely on the seller to inform him about the mother, the parent, offspring, and therefore the buyer has the obligation to do this determination. And obviously Rav Achai Gaon says that by a Jewish seller, that's where the seller has obligation, but by a non-Jew sellers, there's no obligation. And the Rosh explains why is the obligation on the seller, not on the buyer, is like we just learned. Because a buyer who normally buys an animal, given all the reasons that we explained, has every reason not to be concerned with the concern of Oisav Espanoi. We gave all the various explanations, the situation where not. This day is a different day, and since it's a different day, and it's something that the seller is more obviously going to be aware of than the buyer, so therefore it's the seller who has the obligation to notify the buyer. And if the seller does not follow his obligation, and he didn't tell the buyer, then it's considered a mekach tos, and it would be the loss of the seller for having done this. So says the Mishnah Veilahein. What are these four times? Says the Mishnah, Erev Yontif Shel Chag, the Erev Yontif of the second days, or the second days of Sukkos, because we know Shemini Atzeres is a Yontif Bifnei Atzmai, and that's the day where they brought many kabbonis, because all the kabbonis that were not brought from the beginning of Yontif were brought on Shmini Atzeres. Moreover, at the beginning of Yontif, they were busy with the mitzvah of Sukkah. They were busy with the mitzvah of Dalaminim. So people aren't that into what they're going to eat. Shmini Atzeres, that's when people start thinking about the food that they're going to eat. Erev Yontif Rishon Shel Pesach. The halacha is that the Korban Pesach is Nechal al Soiva. The Korban Pesach has to be eaten when people are full. And since it has to be eaten when people are full, they used to bring a Korban Chagiga along with the Korban Pesach. And therefore, there's a lot of kabbonis, a lot of meat being slaughtered that day. Erev Atzeres, Erev Shavuos, again, when they brought Shami Chagiga and Oilus Riyah. And from here we see, the Paiskim suggests, that people think that on Shavuos we wouldn't need to have so much meat, because on Shavuos is the Yontif that people eat dairy. But we see from our Mishnah actually not like that, that Shavuos was also a Yontif where they ate a lot of meat. And therefore they had to make, this is a day for that concern. Erev Rosh Hashanah. Erev Rosh Hashanah, we know the Gemara Masechet Rosh Hashanah tells us that Rosh Hashanah, what we eat, that's why we eat the Simonim Rosh Hashanah, because it's a Simon L'mazel Tov. And therefore, at the beginning of the year, they used to eat good meals for a good Simon. That's one pshat, Tosfos suggests. The Torah says that a person's attitude on Erev Rosh Hashanah is supposed to be that he's confident that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to inscribe us for a great year. And the way we demonstrate that confidence is by eating good meals. Also on Erev Yom Kippur in Golol. Because as we know, the Gemara says, somebody eats, somebody should be eating on Erev Yom Kippur. And somebody who does eat on Erev Yom Kippur, Malo, Kosov, Kilasan, and Shiva, Siri, it's as if he fasted both days. And the question is, if that's the case, that we're supposed to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, why is the din in our Mishnah only by Golo? So Yamsha Shloim explains that some are of the opinion that they didn't eat meat on Erev Yom Kippur, they ate poultry. And therefore, and they used to eat, I saw the kaporis that they brought from fish and chicken. That's what they ate in Erev Yom Kippur. So there wasn't that much meat eaten. The Meshech Chachma has a different explanation. He says that the Nochrim believed that Yehuda killed Esav. And that's why they were very into taking revenge from Jews for having done that. And they especially took into account Erev Yom Kippur to do so. But that was something that was a concern in Yehuda, because it was Yehuda that killed them, but not anyone else. So that's why they kept the meals that they ate on Erev Yom Kippur very low-key, and they did not eat meat. Amar Yehuda Amasai, when must the seller inform the buyer that the offspring or the parent was sold? Bizman she'en le'revach. When there was no time, different, this is the Pasha Peshan and the Mishnah, that there was no, they were both being sold on the same day, right before Yontif. Avol yoshlei revach. If one animal was sold before Erev Yontif, and the other animal is going to be sold on Erev Yontif, so the seller could say that I assumed that the first person who bought the animal was going to shech the animal before today, today being Erev Yontif, and you're going to sell it today, shech it today, there's no Oisav Es Benoi. Another pshat that I saw that the Ran suggests is this pshat that we just said now is the pshat of Rashi. The Ran suggests the pshat, it depends, because Man Shein Shloi Revach is that the seller has to ascertain what is the buyer's intention. And when the seller sees that the buyer is looking to shech the animal that he bought today, then he should shech the today. And then he should notify him. If he sees that they're not pressured to sell it, then there's no need to make this obligation. In a case where the animals were sold for a wedding, even if they're not sold in the same day, but it's being sold to the same families that are making a wedding. In this case, tzarech leidiyoi, they have to notify both parties. It could be a dua. It's fair to assume that they're both going to be shechting it today on the same day for Yontif. The Rishonim debate, this halacha Rabbi Yehuda said that Yesh le revach, ein rei revach, is it only speaking about Erev Yom Kippur, or is it speaking about all Yom Tovim? Some Rishonim suggest that he's saying only an Erev Yom Kippur, that's when everybody shechted, but other Yom Tovim, we have to assume that the shechting Erev Yontif, or some suggest that this halach is by all the time. The Baba proclamation, and furthermore, says the Tefuah Shor, even though, as we've been learning in our shir, is it the obligation of the seller to find out, is it the obligation of the buyer to find out who should be notifying whom? So says the Tefuah Shor, by Yom Tovim, so the seller understands that people who are buying animals are buying it for Yontif. That's why everybody's buying it. When somebody walks into the store and they're a chasen or a kala, the owner of the store is not necessarily aware that this person is going to make a wedding, marrying off a son, marrying off his daughter. There it certainly becomes, says the Tefuah Shor, the obligation of the buyer, the chasen or the kala, to notify the seller that I'm buying it because of the wedding. And therefore, if the other side is coming, notify them. Says Marbab Prokabela Shaktam Satabach Bal Korchai. The way it used to work was that people would give the butcher money to own a share of the animal. And if he gave somebody money for a share in the animal, the butcher, he becomes an owner of that part of the animal. And the butcher can't say, well, I didn't sell enough of the animal that it should be worthwhile to sell it. Even if you have a shor that's worth 1,000 dinar, and all that the buyer has in that shor is the value of a dinar, you could force the seller, the butcher, to sell the meat. Lefikach, and therefore he says a mace, if the animal dies, mace lekeach, it's considered his animal, and if there's anything that happens to this animal, it's the loss of the buyer. Av v'shay mace shana ain't a kain. The rest of the year, it's not that way. Lefikach mace, the rest of the year, that until you do mashicha, just giving a deposit, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, doesn't make you an owner of this animal. And therefore, lefika chameis, if the animal dies, it doesn't mean that you have any ownership in this animal. And therefore, since it doesn't mean that you have any ownership in this animal, if the animal dies, then it's at the loss of the seller. The buyer does not have any ownership in this animal yet. Says the Gemara, Tana, we learned in the Braisa, Imloi Hadia, if the seller did not notify the buyer that I sold the parent or the offspring, Hayok V'Shaycha V'Ein Nimna, because if there would be a problem, it's fair to assume that the seller would have told you. And the Pchot HaMashulish tells us a very bechidish, that our Mishnah, that goes back to something we discussed at the beginning of the Mishnah, is it the buyer's obligation to ascertain what happened here? And the Mishnah, the Gemara is teaching us that yes, even if we'll hold that normally it is the obligation of the buyer to do this, to find out what happened here. On the Erev Yontif that the Mishnah is speaking about, if the seller didn't say anything to you, that is clearly an indication that there's nothing happening, that wasn't sold, and you need not do any further investigation. Amar Yehuda says, we learned in the Mishnah, a difference of yesh revach or ein revach. But then the Mishnah continued, the aim lechosin v'sabas lekala. So says the Gemara, lamele l'mistas aim lechosin v'sabas lekala. Why did the Mishnah have to tell us that the bigger animal is sold to the chosin, the aim, and the smaller was sold to the kala. And the way I saw that the Mefarshim explained the Gemara's question, the point is that they were both sold. Why does the Mishnah have to go into this detail of saying who bought the mother and who bought the daughter? Teaches Milsa Agavorcha Kamashmon, because the Mishnah is telling us the Arach Aral Metrich Bechasna, that the Chosin's family would spend, would be the one to make the to spend more and be more involved in making the chasna, the family be kolosim more than the kalas family, and the reason is, as the Gemara in Masechet Baba Basra teaches us, in those days it was normal that the kala came to live with a chasin, and since the kala was going to live with the chasin, that's where the wedding took place, and therefore it becomes more of the obligation for the Chosin's family to bake the wedding than the Chal's family. Baba Prokem, so we learned that these times, since we could force the Shoichet, to force the butcher to sell the animal, even if I just had a minimal investment in the animal, then I could force him, and if something happens to the animal, the person who made the investment will take the loss. But as the Gemara, we know throughout Shas that you don't become an owner of something without Mashiach. And therefore ask the Gemara, follow Mashiach, and if you didn't do Mashiach, why is it yours? Why is it considered the buyer's that if something were to happen, he'll be held responsible? And says the Gemara, Amr Rav Huna Marav, we're going to have to explain that our Mishnah is speaking about a case where Mashiach was done. Ask the Gemara if it's talking about a case where Mashiach is done. In the rest of the year, it's not that way. And therefore, the Mishnah Paskin Lefika Chameis, if the animal dies, Meis Lamech, it's the owner's, it's the seller's loss. The buyer has no equity in this animal. But why not? Ask the Gemara. According to what we just learned, for Mashiach, he did Mashiach, and then he did become an owner. Answers the Gemara, Amrav Shua Bayitzchel Oilam Shalem Mashiach. The Mishnah is speaking about a case where Mashiach did not take place. But the way to understand the Mishnah is Kigan Shazich Alayadei Acher. The seller gave the buyer ownership by having somebody else take ownership in whatever he bought on behalf of the buyer. Bab, and the question is, can that be legitimate? Because, says the Gemara, we know that throughout Shas there's a concept of Zochen La'adam Shalem B'fonav. We could do something for somebody else without his knowledge, that's to his benefit, not when it's to his detriment. So explains the Gemara. Ba'ara Prokamelu, these four times that the Gemara speaks about, the Schusaloi, where it's to the benefit to have a share in the animal. So we apply the concept of Zochen La'adam Shalem B'fonav. B'shayim Ma'isashana, we're getting ownership in animal is a loss, because if something happens, then it's going to be the buyer's loss. Ein chavlan shlo b'fonav. One cannot do that without his consent. Rav Elazar, Rabbi Yochanan, a different way of understanding. Bab prokmelu. These four times a year, Chazal followed the din d'oraisa, because explains Rabbi Yochanan. This is Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokish. The Gemara is saying that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is, Dvat Torah Ma'as Kornas, Midaraisa, giving money alone is enough to give you ownership. Matam Amr Mashiach Kona, but Chazal instituted that you have to have Mashiach, because Gzair Shah Miyamlai Nisr Chitach Baliyah. If a seller will sell something to the buyer, and as soon as the buyer gives even just the deposit becomes his, if something were to happen to that asset, the seller has no interest and has no need to try to save it because it's not his anymore. But that's why he has, only when Mashiach was done does it become his. But here, when we're talking about meat, where people should have the ability to have meat on Yontif, so Chazal said that even if you just gave Moss, it's considered yours. And since even if you just gave Moss, it becomes yours, so therefore, if it's yours, we go back to the Din D'oraisa. But on the other hand, then the rice, there's a other side to it. If something happens to it, then the halacha is that you're not, that you are responsible. So the question that I saw Rabbi Kivega obviously asks is, as we explained a moment ago, Chazal made this rule to protect the buyer. So why are we not concerned about the buyer in the example that we just gave? Explains Rabbi Kivega, the buyer here is only getting part of the animal. The rest of the animal is still the seller. So what are we concerned that the seller is going to not care? Of course he's going to care. Because just because the buyer has a dinner, 1,000% is not going to be something that's going to prevent him from protecting the animal. Here we learn that Dvar Torah, Midaraisa of Yochanan's opinion, is Mos Koinus. So I saw that the Sefer Divrei Yisrael, who many times explains statements that Chazal make in such a way, says Dvar Torah, somebody who learns Divrei Torah, somebody who is connected to Divrei Torah, Mos Koinus. We're all looking for ways how to be financially successful. Teaches us the Gemara that Dvar Torah, by Dvar Torah, by connecting ourselves to Divrei Torah, Mos Koinus, that's the way we're going to be successful in our financial dealings, and we'll have, as the Gemara says, Mos Koinus, will be financially successful. Here we're learning that by Dvar Mitzvah we say Mos Koinus, and there's a question that the Achroinim debate. Is this only in our case of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah spoke about Erev Yontev and the meat? Or what about in other cases? The Shulchan Aruch and Choshe Mishpat Simen Kuf Tzadik Tes Sif Gimel teaches us, Yeiz Man Shemos Koinus. There are certain places that the Aloch is that Mos Koinus. And the Shulchan Aruch explains, Shemidu Chachobim Devreim the Torah, that Chazal reverted back to the halacha, that the Chazal revert back to the halacha, that the Torah tells us that Mos itself is Koina. Ve'elahem, which are these times? Erev Yontav, Akron, Shulchag, all of the different times that we just learned in the Mishnah. But then the Rama adds, that's not only in this case. The Rama says, if somebody gives money for Kiddush, because again, only having ma'ar for Kiddush is a mitzvah, and there we say ma'as koinus. The Tzoy says that if somebody paid for chalas on Erev Yontif, on Erev Shabbos, so again, having chal on Shabbos, we say ma'as koinus. There are paiskim that say that even if somebody paid for Hanukkah candles, even if somebody paid for Hanukkah candles, we're also going to say that Mos Koinus. The Beis Yitzchak says that Mos Koinus will be applicable on Erev Sukkos, will be applicable when you buy an Esrig. However, I saw that it's most interesting that the Paiskim, the Beis Yitzchak says that when will we say Mos Koinus when you buy an Esrig? Only if you bought it on Erev Sukkos. Where there, it's the last minute that you have to have it. But any other time where you have still time to buy it, we don't say Mos Koinus. Rabbi Yashiv also said that he's not convinced that that's the halacha Mos Koinus will be applicable by a Hanukkah candles. He says there's a mitzvah to light Hanukkah candles, but there's no absolute chiyuv that you have to own those Hanukkah candles. Where do we apply the rule, says Rabbi Yashiv, of Mos Koinus, where the halacha requires you to own that object? Where the halacha doesn't give you that requirement, we don't say Mos Koinus. The Sefer Chashuk Yechemed makes a very interesting, talks about a very interesting shaila. The Mishnah taught us that if the seller doesn't notify the buyer, we have a problem of a mekach tos. So he discusses a question where there was a person who was not knowledgeable, and he, Baruch Hashem, had a baby, and the baby was born on Gimel Tavis, and the bris is going to be an asar b'tevis, but this person is not aware of the fast day of asar b'tevis. And he went and he ordered a whole bris for the morning from a caterer, and the caterer was happy to take the order, even though it was incorrect for him to do so because it was asar b'tevis when nobody's eating. The question is that considered a makach tos? He should have, the caterer who knew it's asar b'tevis should have told him. He speaks about a case where there was a strike in Israel in the airport, and somebody had a ticket, and he doesn't know that there's a strike going on, and he orders a taxi, but the taxi driver knew, but he took him anyway. Not only did the taxi driver take him, he comes to the airport, the taxi driver drops him off, and the taxi driver, and then he goes in, and it's, the airport is closed, there's nothing coming, nothing going, and he goes back out, and the taxi driver is standing there. He says, I was waiting for you, I knew you're going to have to go back. And the question is that considered a mekach tos? And he says that it's considered a mekach tos. It was obvious that if the passenger was aware that the airport was closed, he would have never gone. And if you knew that that's the case, you should have told him. And if not, it's understood that that's the expectation. And therefore, since you did the wrong thing, like an Amishnah, it's because it's your obligation to let them know. Says the Mishnah, Yomecher Amar Vaisbus Benoi. We've been learning throughout our Perek Dalocha of Vaisbus Benoi. It says the Gemara, Dalocha here is Hayom Acha Laila. If you shechted the mother at night, the halacha is the entire next day you're not allowed to shecht the other one. It says the Marzu Darsh Shimon Ben Zayman Nemar Masa Bereishis. The pasuk says V'yarev V'yoki Yom Echad. V'nemar Ba'ois Ves Benoy Yom Echad. Ma Yom Echad Amar Masa Bereishis. When we speak about Yom Echad by Masa Bereishis, it means Yom Hayom Ha'el Chacha Laila. So to Ba'ois Ves Benoy. Af yoim, hama vayis vespenai yoim achalayla. Tana ban azu darshav shivim ben zama. Fisha kolay nikulay. Enem b'dabel b'kachim. Explains Rav Shimon. Since the entire subject, vayis vespenai, is speaking about kachim, and by kachim the halacha is kachim layla halachacha yoim, because the pasuk says b'yoim kabanei yachal lo yinich memena abaka. Yochel Avzeh Kain, that here too we should say the same thing, teaches us the Mishnah, Nema Kan, by Oysa B'Spinoi, the Torah says Yom Echad, for Nema Mas Bereshis Yom Echad, Ma Yom Echad Amma Pash Mas Bereshis HaYom HaLach Acha Alayla, Af Yom Echad Amma Vais B'Spinoi HaYom HaLach Acha Alayla. Rabbi Omer, the Pasuk says Yom Echad, to teach us Yom HaMiyuchad. Torn Cross, there are certain days that are special days, Bikan Amru, and this is the basis for what we've been learning about in our Mishnah, the Abba Parak and Bishana, there are four times in the year, Hamaycha Behem L'Chaveroi, that you have to Tzarech L'Idiyoi, you have to notify what's going on. Here, we're learning that by Kachim, unlike any other place in Halacha, the Halacha is that we, the Laila Halach Achayoyim. And the reason, explains the Chassam Sofer, is the reason why we have in our religion Laila and then Yoim, because that's our experience in this world. This world, Klal Yisrael suffers. It's Laila. But there will be Yoim after the Laila. The Kachim, when we connect ourselves to the Kachim, there everything changes. And when we speak about Kachim, it's the Laila Achayoyim. It's like Olam Haba. In Olam Haba, we're going to have a world of Yoyim. And we're not going to have to be concerned about the Laila that Laila precedes the Yoyim. We're about to begin learning the parak about Kisui Adam. The Torah says, Ish ish mibnei Yisroel nagera gar besoicham ashiyotu tzeit chayef oif ashiyochav v'shofa estamai v'kaso be'ofer. The Torah says that when you shek the chaya oif, you have to cover the blood. The Sefer Achinach explains, the Torah is teaching us the importance of blood. Blood is that the that it is what represents our life. And since it represents what our life is all about, so therefore we have to show it respect and do kisui hadam. The Rashbam explains, because as we know it's such a serious isser to eat dam, so the way we express this is by doing kisui hadam. There's a machlokes rishonim when the bracha kisui hadam is made. The Bahag's opinion is, first we do kisui hadam and then we make the bracha. It's not like all other mitzvahs, that the mitzvah is made before we do, the bracha is made before we do the mitzvah, because by kisui hadam, it's not, there's a beginning that when we cover the blood, we have the beginning and end of the mitzvah. Kisui hadam is really the conclusion of shechita. And therefore, we make one bracha before the shechita, another bracha after the kisui hadam. The Ramban says that the bracha kisui hadam is a similar pshat. It's a continuation of the shechita. You can't interrupt between the shechita and the kisui hadam, and therefore the bracha is made after the kisui hadam. The Rosh disagrees, and the Rosh says, like all brachas, the bracha should be done before the kisui hadam, and it's not considered a hefsek, and that's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah as well, that the halacha is that kisui hadam is considered an independent mitzvah, and the bracha should be made before the kisui hadam. However, the Paiskim do say that b'di'evid, if the bracha was not made before the kisui hadam, you can make the bracha after kisui hadam. Kisui hadam, says the Mishnah, noig ba'aretz or b'chutz la'aretz, it applies both b'aretz and chutz la'aretz. As we mentioned in the previous parak as well, there is really no chiddush in this statement. It was just mentioned for sake of being consistent with all the Mishnahs that we're learning, which have, in those Mishnahs, it will be relevant. B'fnei Bayis, v'shloibin b'fnei Bayis, both in front of the Beis HaMikdash and when the Beis HaMikdash is not standing. B'chulin, it only applies b'chulin, avloibin b'mikdashim. Noyingin b'chai v'oif, it applies only by chai v'oif. B'mezumin, whether the animal, bird, animal was prepared or not. Again, there's no chiddush in this. V'noyig b'ki'oi, we spoke extensively about a koi, which is a suffix if it's a chai behema, and since if it's a suffix, if it's a chai behema, that's why, since it might be a chai, it applies to a koi. Vein shechtin tzav b'yontif, but we should not shecht a koi on yontif, because we have to be concerned that maybe it's not mechuyev kisui hadam, and therefore we had no right to move the earth, which might be muktza. Another Rishonim say that there might be concern of tircha for no reason on yontif. V'mshachtei, and therefore if you shechted it, ein mechasen astamai, if you shechted a koy on yontif, you don't do kisui hadam. Says the Gemara, mektoshim my tam aloy, ask the Gemara, why is there no kisui hadam by kotshim? Ilei mishum der abzeira, dam rabzeira, shoych hatzorch shiten of lamata. When you do kisui hadam, you're supposed to put earth below the blood, Offalamala, earth above the blood, as the pasuk says, v'shafach asdam v'chisa ba'offer, and the Gemara explains, offer loy nemer, ela ba'offer, melam shashoyach etzorach shitin offalamata v'offalamala, you have to put offer on both sides, v'ochalay efshem by kochim, that's not a possibility, because hey chlever, what do you want him to do? Leisev levatle, to leave the earth on the mizbeach permanently, become moist of opinion. Then you're making the mizbeach not the dimensions that the Mizbeach is supposed to have. The Ksiv and the Pasuk says that David HaMelech told Shlomo, Hako, B'Ksav, Miyad Hashem, Alay Haskel, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave him direct instructions how to build the Mizbeach and exactly what they mentioned they should be. Loy Levatli, if you're not going to leave it there permanently, so it says the Gemara, you have another concern, Kavach Hatzitza. So it says the Gemara, I still don't understand. Ned Lamata Lafsha, you can't put the dam below because you're going to ruin the mentions on the Mizbeach. Lamala Efsha, so ask the Gemara, so therefore, Leva Kisui, let's do at least Kisui Adam by Kotshim on the top of the blood. Miloy Tanya, And says the Gemara, have we not learned in a brayser? Yonasim and Yosef Omer, shocht chay v'oif, v'akach shocht behema, potam l'chassas. If you have the behema blood on top of the chay v'oif blood, you don't have to do kisei dam. Behema v'akach chaya, but if you have behema blood on the bottom, and chay blood on the top, chay v'lchassas. So we see from here that not being able to do kisei on the bottom doesn't prevent us from the mitzvah kisei adam and do it on the top. Answers the Gemara, Kedrab Zeira. When is there halacha that if you can't do the bottom, do at least the top? Is when you could have potentially done the bottom. But if you could not have done the bottom under any circumstances, as we're learning now, because you can't change the dimensions of the Mizbeach, then just doing the top alone is not fulfilling the mitzvah. As Rav Zeira taught us, Kol Roi Labila Ein Bila Makeves Ba, because Ein Roi Labila Bila Makeves Ba, which means the halacha is that when you bring a carbon mincha, we have the ingredients of the flour and the oil, the halacha teaches us that you don't have to mix the ingredients together. But we learned many times in Masechta Menachos, if you're going to donate a carbon mincha of more than 60 yisarin, there it becomes impossible to properly mix them, and therefore it's disqualified. We just said that the mixing is not essential. Says Rav Zeira, when mixing can be done and you didn't do it, it's acceptable. But when mixing is not able to be done, then the mixing is essential. Here too, if you only did kisui adam on top and not on bottom, it will be considered acceptable. But that's only in a case where you could have done the bottom. But by the mizbeach, as we're learning now, the bottom is never an option. So therefore, it becomes a situation where kisui adam is not done.